Good evening and greetings to those listening in Juneau and around the world. This is Adrienne Lopez, and it's exciting to be back on the airwaves here in Juneau, Alaska. This is Focus on Community. In the next hour, don't miss my interview with Tyson Fick, Communications Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, also known as ASME. Tyson Fick is a lifelong Alaskan with a marketing degree from Washington State University. He's been a small business owner, a legislative staffer, a chef, flight dispatcher, and legislative liaison for the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Most importantly, he is married to Holly Handler, and together they are raising twin three-year-old boys. At ASME, Fick manages communications with the Alaska seafood industry, policymakers, the media, and the public. Remember, if you're listening out there and you have questions, you want to participate in this show tonight, you can write to jeff@ktoo.org, and they'll be bringing them in the studio. So I hope that some people are out there participating and have some questions for Tyson. So thanks for coming on the air, Tyson.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And let me first start wishing you a happy birthday.
Thank you. It's kind of strange to be on the air for the first time in the United States, at least. I know I had a show down in Chile, and a lot of people are listening in from there, so I'll give some shout-outs later on to them. But, you know, I just want to kind of start off by saying that ASME came onto the radar, like, last year when I was still living abroad, and your position as communications director came up because, of course, it was a very exciting position. I mean, who doesn't want to travel around the world promoting Alaska salmon and eating some of the best food on earth, right? And so I heard about ASME, I applied for the job, and then I started to learn more and more about what you guys were doing. So lucky you got the job. Welcome aboard.
Lucky me. I do think I have the best job in the world. I do get to travel around and talk about how great Alaska is and Alaska seafood and the people in Alaska.
Yeah.
And I'm real fortunate for that.
So it's a lot of fun. Well, let's get started first by kind of talking about what your organization does and what it's about, so the people who are maybe outside of Juneau or Alaska might just get some insight into what ASME does.
Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, most folks know us as ASME, has been around for 31 years. It's a private-public partnership between the state and the seafood industry.
Okay.
So our job is to maximize the economic value of our seafood resource through marketing activities. And what marketing is in a bigger sense necessarily than just advertising. It's, developing new markets, as well as all the materials you see around in restaurants and at retailers, developing point-of-sale materials, running promotions, and even taking on research projects, that kind of thing, that can be shared by the whole industry.
Okay. Now, so it's been around for a while, public-private partnerships, the funding comes partly from the state of Alaska then?
Yes, and because we're a state nonprofit, we're governed by a board, but our budget ultimately is approved by the legislature.
The legislature every year, on a yearly basis?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if people out there are like, okay, is Alaska seafood that great? What's so wonderful about it? How can you kind of convince people out there listening? I mean, I know it is, and you should have brought some so we could try it on air, but what is the selling point there? And how do you define Alaska seafood, too? It's not just salmon, right?
Certainly. We represent all species from all regions of the state. So that's salmon and halibut and crab and cod and pollock and sea cucumbers and you name it. If it's out there, we talk good things about it. And we work with some of the best chefs in the country, coming up with some of the best recipes and ways to prepare it. There was a time when I thought I was sick of seafood, but I was just sick of the half a dozen different ways that I was always preparing it. And we had a promotion years ago about this is not your mother's Friday fish.
Okay, interesting. Playing into the Catholic Church thing?
Well, certainly.
Eat fish on Friday?
Certainly. It's like, Lent is the fishmonger's holiday. But what is so great about Alaska seafood? Well, I mean, I look out the window right now, and that's a big part of it. It's the clean water. It's the untouched landscape. It's the cold water. It's just abundant. And then how we take care of our fish, how we take care of our fisheries and our communities, that all certainly plays into it.
Of course it does. And later I think we'll get into sustainability issues a little bit. We'll take that on.
Right,
as a topic.
And if you've ever been here, which we're lucky enough to live here, you know why it's so great.
Yeah, so you have Alaska seafood as a selling point, but also Alaska, right? It's kind of sexy, and lately it's been
fun
to be from Alaska.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I get embarrassed. Everybody stops when where you're from, and you go around all the states, and you're like, oh, Alaska again.
Oh, like the
questions.
Deadliest Catch? Is that what everybody's always asking me?
So, okay, you promote all kinds of seafood, and the big ones being, you know, halibut, maybe salmon, but the actual biggest one is pollock, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Right?
A little more than 50%.
Explain to people kind of what pollock is, what it looks like, where it's found, some stats on that.
Pollock is a gadiform. Like a cod-like fish that schools primarily in the Bering Sea and in the Gulf of Alaska.
Okay.
It reproduces just tremendously fast, so there's a very large biomass.
Okay.
And it's a very much a volume fishery, the amount of fish that they take. So chances are, if you've had a fish stick or a fish witch or imitation crab in a California roll, you've had pollock. Way I've heard it described sometimes is that they're kind of like intel. There's intel inside, but you might not know exactly, but it's there. That's pollock.
It's kind of hidden in there. So if I go to like an Ivor, well, maybe an Ivor's is a good example. Where do they sell like fast food, seafood?
The McDonald's.
McDonald's, okay.
Most certainly.
You're going to have Alaska pollock.
Yep.
Wow.
And then, you know, any surimi sushi roll that you see around is all Alaska pollock.
All Alaska pollock, wow. So, you know, you're down in Southeast, your offices are based here and in Seattle, correct?
Right.
Do you ever get competition within Alaska, you know, the fishermen feeling like you're representing too much of one region over another? How do you kind of stay equal on...
Well, absolutely. That's a constant battle, and it was largely resolved a few years ago. Our funding structure was such that the salmon fishermen all paid a 1% tax on it, and they felt like, well, why are we having to pay so much for all of these other guys? Well, a few years back, 2002, 2003, they changed our funding structure as well as our board to put a tax on wholesale value.
Okay.
So it spread it out across the entire industry. And with that, it's incumbent on us, you know, that are doing the job to, you know, represent the whole state and represent all fisheries. You know, obviously we can focus on the pressure points, you know, the places that need more help. But, you know, we're not going to go out there and cork the other guy and say, well, boy, Bristol Bay salmon's better than Kenai salmon or
Valdez.
Southeast. You know, a Southeast halibut is way better than a St. Lawrence Island halibut. Don't find that that really does anybody any benefit, especially when you look at, you know, the broader spectrum of the food business. You know, we're even supportive of, you know, we feel like anything that's good for U.S. seafood, anything that's good for seafood in general is also good for Alaska seafood.
That's true.
Because our competition, when you look at it, we eat about 16 pounds of fish, but 72 pounds of poultry.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say our competition is really, you know, is beef, pork, and chickens.
Wow.
More so than a shrimp from Southeast versus a shrimp from Louisiana.
Yeah. That's a good point. And actually, maybe we'll lead into that, because the whole issue of health and fish and seafood being healthier than other options, in my opinion, poultry and meat. Is there some part of the marketing that includes that information, that this is the healthier option?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we work with doctors and we work with chefs to help get that information out.
Mm-hmm.
There's just volumes of information about how good seafood is for you, how much better it is for you, all the omega-3s, you know, from diabetes to brain function to healthy mothers to eyesight, and there's even Alzheimer's research. And so it's even developed industries of, you know, omega-3 pills that are shown to have some benefits. So there's, you know, more use for other parts of the fish that you wouldn't necessarily, you know, use otherwise.
Now, would ASME get involved, or have they gotten involved with research in those areas? Would you get involved in research projects related to nutrition and,
you know,
seafood? Okay.
More so with, you know, latching on to a good study or a good teacher, and then, you know, that's where the institute part of our name comes in, is then to help with that story. There's lots of, you know, traditional universities doing real hard science. We know how to cull it together and then help share it, translate it.
Yeah, yeah. Great. It's important, especially for marketing, right? Now, what are some of the demographics that you're marketing to? You have different age groups. Is there a new group on the radar lately, younger people? Different. Obviously, you know, later on we'll talk about international aspects and countries involved, but
primarily boomers.
Okay.
Is the biggest thing, you know, folks with some money. Because a lot of times seafood is, you know, it ought to be expensive, you know, and because of what it takes to get it, really. And we don't have, you know, as we do a good job of telling our story, more and more people want it, but it's a wild resource, so we can't necessarily just go make more.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a finite amount, so at some point you got to have the dollars to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But secondarily to that is a Gen Y.
Generation Y.
In the, 25 to 30-something?
Are we in that one?
You may be. I'm well past that one.
Really? Okay, X and Y, emerging.
So as far as the population growth, if you look at on a scale, it's nearly as big as the boomers. So this is the next big group of folks that are really moving into that job market.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different world when we're talking with those folks. You know, it's things like all the social media outlets. It's smartphones, QR codes.
Wow.
Whereas it's, you know, who do you trust? Like some of our research, you know, when we go out and do market research, which is something that certainly would benefit the whole industry and is all available. I want to make sure everybody knows that, whether you're, a fisherman, a processor, direct marketer, you know, all these resources are available and out there. But we do some research, and there's a big switch where, you know, who do you trust for information about seafood? It goes from the guy at the fish counter to the Gen Y is the majority of people think the internet. And so who is that? Mm-hmm. It's their food blogging friends. And so we're working with bloggers. And
wow.
We're at a really interesting time in marketing because we're kind of all in different worlds.
Yeah.
And I work with fishermen a lot, so I'm not necessarily texting them what's going on a lot of times. It's, you know, you got to actually go out and meet with folks.
And talk to them, too. Huh. So do you find this Generation Y, the consumer of seafood, is more conscious about what they're eating and more aware than maybe the boomers are about where their food is coming from? Do you see that emerging a lot more?
It's still all about, primarily about flavor.
About flavor.
Flavor and texture, and it's a whole generation of foodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's Anthony Bourdain called food the new rock and roll. You know, people
really?
Get together over food.
I didn't hear that one.
They talk about it. They identify themselves by what food they eat, which is great for us because I think we have a better story to tell than anybody out there.
Yeah.
Secondary to that, yes, there is there's definitely an awareness, I would say, building about where your food comes from, the people that are raising it or catching it, in our case, the communities that are around that, and then what it does for you in a health, you know, in a health sense.
Yeah.
So that all of those things we feel like fit very well. We have a good story to tell in all those arenas.
Into the whole marketing, yes. Okay, well, we're gonna come back with a question that you kind of just touched on about the relationship with fishermen. But I want to take a quick break because I think I'm going to give people a chance to write in with their questions, right? This is Jeff. This is Adrian Lopez, but you can write in to jeff@kto.org if you have any questions for Tyson. And hopefully we'll get those on the air and read to him. So stay tuned. Again, we're talking to Tyson Fick, Communications Director for Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, here on Focus on Community. We'll be back in a second.
Packing up the truck, heading down the road. We're on a mission. We're going fishing. Pick a cool spot, unload all our gear, set up our poles and fish right here. Make the first cast, then make a wish. that ship creek right downtown. Get the line wet, it's fun, you bet. I could catch the biggest fish yet. I've been wishing I could go fishing. I'm so happy I'm going fishing. Silvers and reds, halibut and chums, dollies and rainbows, yum, yum, yum. Clean up the fish, take the meat from the bone, fire up the barbecue and eat them up at home. Fire up the barbecue and eat them up at home.
Welcome back. This is Adrian Lopez here on KTOO News and Focus on Community program with Tyson Fick. He is the Communications Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, also known as ASME. We were just talking here in the first part of the program a lot about what your organization does and the importance of marketing Alaska seafood around the world, around the United States. And on the break, Tyson, you actually mentioned that Alaska produces 50% of United States seafood, is that
correct? A little more. Most years it's somewhere between 52% and 60%, depending on the take. And more fish than the rest of the United States combined. We'd be a top 10 seafood producing nation.
Really?
If we were a nation. But yet when you put it back into perspective, you know, we only produce 2% of the world's seafood.
Wow, that's small.
The same story with salmon. We produce, you know, we catch 90% of the wild seafood, wild salmon in North America. Yet you go on a global scale, mm-hmm. it's usually somewhere between 12 and 18%.
Of wild salmon?
Of total salmon.
Of total salmon.
Total salmon.
Okay, we're not wild and then farmed, yeah.
So what that does is really illustrate the importance of marketing.
Yeah.
Because we can't compete on a commodity basis.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just drive the market and demand whatever price we want. Folks have figured out how to grow some fish. So a big part of what we're doing is trying to separate ourselves from other fish and talk about the positive attributes that our fish have and why it's important to take note of wild, natural, sustainable fish.
Well, then that leads into the question about farm fish. You know, my friends down in Chile are big fans of the farm salmon, as well as Norway, right? I don't know what other competitors in the world.
Yeah.
But what is your take and view on farm salmon? Will that ever be legalized in Alaska?
I don't have a crystal ball that'll tell me whether or not farm fish will be legalized in Alaska. I don't suspect so. But and those figures I was talking about before just illustrate that there's more people, there's more demand for mm-hmm. salmon, for fish products than we could possibly produce out of our
oceans.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Well, there's certainly a place for it. I prefer the fish in my backyard, but you know, I'm also a big fan of feeding people good quality seafood. So so I certainly don't have a problem with farm fish. And many of our customers and many of our processors are in the farm fish business as well as the wild fish business. So
really?
It doesn't do anybody any good to go in and have a steel cage grudge match in the fish counter saying, well, your fish is this and your fish is that. We're not in the business of that. We're all about the positive.
Okay. But there aren't farm fish that come out of Alaska at this point.
No.
None of that.
No.
And the mariculture either, or aquaculture, whatever.
Well, there is aquaculture.
A little bit with scallops.
Some oysters,
okay.
Some mussels.
Mm-hmm.
Gooey ducks is one thing they're trying to get off the ground. And that's, you know, that's legal as finfish farming.
Finfish.
That they outlawed.
Okay. Finfish farming. Well, kind of going along with the farm fish question, this view of hatcheries and how you support those processes, because it does bring back more fish, and it is natural and wild, correct? Do you
yeah,
guys
absolutely.
Invest
They're
in
wild
hatcheries
fish.
Around Alaska?
We don't necessarily. Usually it's a fisherman group that pays towards it, towards the fishery enhancement programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, we've done it right. We had the opportunity, and we're really fortunate enough to learn from other people's mistakes and see mm-hmm. how they did it wrong. So our hatcheries have very strict rules of proximity.
Okay.
Where you can take a brood stock from has to be very close to where you're running the hatchery from.
Mm-hmm.
They do some things like marking. They raise the temperature for a little while, so the otolith bone in their head grows at a different rate for just a short period of time so that you can tell when they go around and collect spawned up fish doing studies if they find strays. So they know if they're going somewhere.
Interesting.
And these are all things that didn't happen in other places in the world when, you know, the Pacific Northwest of the United States experienced a massive collapse and we're working with hatcheries. They thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to build a super salmon. And they took a bunch of big ones from where they wanted and they tried to grow them in giant hatcheries. And it turns out that it's something more of an older technology. And this is the kind of thing that people have been doing with spawning boxes and some, you know, a little bit smaller scale that has been going on for years. And, you know, it affords opportunity for, you know, more commercial fishing, subsistence, and sport fisheries.
Uh-huh.
I was just out the other day in the channel and caught a nice hatchery king, and I'm pretty happy about it.
So I have too. And actually, I was a tour guide at the fish hatchery in Valdez, where I grew up, and I learned all about. And it was always fun to talk to the tourists and tell them what anadromous meant. And so
right.
I was just going to take a side note and have you tell listeners out there that might not know what that means, because I just like the way that word sounds.
An anadromous fish is one that lives the beginning of its life in freshwater,
mm-hmm.
travels out to the ocean, and then returns to the freshwater to spawn.
Returns to freshwater, and they can smell it.
That's right.
They come home.
You know, they say they go right back to the same stream.
They were
in the same spot on the same stream years later.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, depending on the species, they spend, you know, up to a year in freshwater. Some just flush out mere months after.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, thanks for that definition.
But what's the,
What's the other one?
Somebody's going to have to write in with what's the name for the type of fish that begins in saltwater, travels to freshwater, and then spawns back in saltwater.
Is that another trivia question?
Oh,
you don't remember it?
No, I don't.
Oh, I thought you were asking your listeners.
I'm asking for help from the listeners. That's what I'm doing.
Didn't you have those trivia questions at the Maritime Festival? Let's throw them out there. We don't have any prizes, but... okay, so kind of going back to what I wanted to start this part of the show, talking about the relationship with fishermen and how ASME develops those relationships and how you have a supplier directory online. So let's say I'm in another country, another state, and I want to bring Alaska salmon into, or Alaska seafood into my restaurant. How do I go about doing that and contacting you guys? Well,
we have online as well as in a hard copy at alaskaseafood.org. .org.
Yeah, we need to turn the website to everybody.
It's our suppliers directory.
Mm-hmm.
And you can search by species, by location, by mm-hmm. company name, by, you know, do you deal with 10,000 pound lots only, or will you sell directly to a customer for the 20 pound wet lock box?
Okay.
And that is the first door, you know. And if somebody's trying to direct market out there, I would certainly encourage that they get signed up. It's really easy. Go through the website or email us at info@alaskaseafood.org,
mm-hmm.
and we'll set you up and get you in there. We have a lot of folks. We carry those with us when we go to shows literally around the world and talk with prospective buyers, develop trade lists, you know, trade leads,
yeah.
and all of this kind of stuff is available.
Okay. So how many suppliers are on in this directory? How many? Is it a monthly increase? Do you see yearly increase? It's part
some
of your marketing.
Some folks come on, some folks fall off, because, you know, it's sometimes a much nicer idea to go directly to market with the fish you catch.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reality sometimes is it's just nice to drop them off and go to bed and then go fish the next day instead of going and packaging fish and sending it to the airport and dealing with everything.
Yeah.
But there's literally hundreds of individual suppliers of product throughout the state.
Okay. And you want to sign up to be on your list, you have to follow a certain code. Does this get into our sustainability discussion about being able to prove the traceability of the fish?
No, we can. Yeah. Well, first off, our logo is available to anybody selling Alaska seafood.
Good to know.
We have some logo use guidelines
mm-hmm.
to protect the brand, to protect what everybody else is up to.
Yeah.
So it has to be Alaska seafood. Would be a nice start.
I'll ask about that later.
And then as far as, you know, how the logo appears on the box, what
mm-hmm.
sorts of things, and then we can provide you with a good printable copy once we agree on all that. So now we are also embarking on a certification program, a third-party certification program,
mm-hmm.
based on the FAO Code of Responsible Fisheries, and that's
the Food and Agriculture
Organization of the United Nations.
Yeah.
And it's the most recognized, set of guidelines for how to prosecute fisheries in a sustainable manner that's
okay.
out there.
Okay, and it's kind of universally accepted by
yes.
a lot of countries?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And NGOs.
Mm,
you know, okay. it's what they would build their own programs on.
Okay.
Now, our program, we serve as like the client saying, we're asking for certification based on these guidelines that our fisheries are managed in a sustainable manner.
Mm-hmm.
A third party, Global Trust, is the
Global Trust,
the certifying body,
okay,
comes in and does an assessment on that with their own team.
With the individual supplier.
Well, in this case, it's the entire fisheries,
okay,
like the entire salmon fishery, the entire halibut fishery, and they're doing it more management structure based.
Hmm.
Now, this will then lead into the traceability question,
okay,
that you're getting at.
Yeah.
They then, the Global Trust, is certified by the International Organization of Standards, the ISO.
Oh, ISO.
ISO,
oh, I know ISO. I've worked,
right,
with them before. Huh.
So what they're doing is checked by ISO 65, as well as, you know, the individual assessment is peer-reviewed. So it's independent, third-party, peer-reviewed. You've got checkers checking the checkers to make sure that everything is, that the fish and game is working and things are working right in our fisheries management structure. Now, part of the FAO code is that if you want to make a claim of certified sustainability, you have to be able to trace where the product comes from. So this is the traceability we're talking about, where you need to be able to say, well, this fish came from this processor, that processor's fish came from these fishermen, and these fish were, you know, came from this source on these days. Fortunately, we've been doing it right for about 52 years now.
Really?
100%
right.
Well, better than it was before then. You know, and there are challenges, and that's the thing about testing a system is how do you react to challenges when fish runs are down or when populations are down. And the conservative approach that we've had is, you know, is working by all accounts. I mean, the you know, there are individual difficulties, but that you address them, right?
Yeah, they come up.
So we have fish tickets every time you deliver fish. How many fish, what it weighed. So from that very first transaction, and from the commercial fisherman to the processor, or if he's, you know, going direct to market, it still has to get filed, and it gets filed with the state, and a lot of that is moving even electronically. So you have real time, as the fishery's going on, you can adjust your management, and you can trace that fish going through the supply chain.
Wow.
When it gets weird is if there's, you know, it goes from this country to that country and brokers, and then you come out with some sort of multi-processed finished product down the road. Fortunately, there's not, you know, a whole lot of that.
No.
Most of the product coming out of Alaska can be pretty well traced, so that you can make that claim, which is, you know, which is growing in importance in the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, some people were commenting that some major stores have had issues saying that it's Alaska salmon, and actually when they looked and checked, it wasn't. I don't know, I don't want to name any names, but how do you combat that fraudulent labeling that might go on? Are supermarkets required to ask for the certification, this FAO Global Trust?
You know, if you make the claim, if you want to use our logo on a promotion, well, it has to be about Alaska seafood. So, but at the same time, we're not the fish cops.
Yeah.
I'm not going around with my forensic
kit. You should be.
And testing fish all over. We couldn't possibly do it. We couldn't possibly. So we're relying on, you know, some federal agencies, state agencies, truth and menu laws.
Truth and menu laws.
You know, you can't say it's one thing and then serve them something else. I mean, it is illegal.
Yeah.
But
you're never
I'm not interested in being the one to go police it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So how do we compare with the European system of labeling fish and having... There's a law on the books now in Europe where they have to know, I think, where all their food comes from, correct? Am I getting off here? Do they have higher standards over there?
In some ways.
Mm-hmm,
in some ways. There certainly are very... more reactionary in some ways.
Okay.
Oftentimes. maybe requiring labeling and testing that is redundant.
Okay.
But that's okay. We can live with that. We feel like we stack up, certainly, because our fishery is entirely traceable. They're as pure and clean as anything you'll ever find in the world because of where we get to live. So we're happy to go tell the story, and if that's what we need to access the marketplace, then we'll help with that.
Yeah, yeah. And before we go to a break, when you say that we know that it's clean and healthy, I know that a couple months ago we were actually talking about the nuclear fallout in Japan and how there was questions coming into ASME about how that affects our salmon and our fish, our seafood in general. Has anything changed there? Is there anything that we could talk about related to
that was an interesting situation. The day of the earthquake, Greenpeace Europe sent a barrage of press releases saying, do not eat fish from the North Pacific. It is irradiated.
Really?
We're all going to die. So it was a matter of days of working with that and working with scientists, working with calmer heads to point it out that the Pacific Ocean is actually a very, very large place.
Mm.
And the levels of radiation were much, much smaller on the global scale than was being previously reported, because it was also part of a larger anti-nuclear message that they've been working on for years, and we were sort of collateral damage in a lot of ways. But we worked hard to get the truth out there, to try to get the most recent information from the sources, rather than leaning on very well-spun pseudoscience at times. We're going straight to the sources saying, well, here's the numbers, and then sharing with it. And oftentimes it wasn't great news. Certainly it was terrible what was going on over there.
Yeah, it was.
But
still is.
Mm. As far as how that affected Alaska seafood, it was, nothing to fear but fear itself in that particular instance.
Well, did you confront Greenpeace on this afterwards and ask them? What's
Deering.
The deal? Why didn't you talk to us? Was it Greenpeace Alaska?
Very much Deering. No, immediately Greenpeace USA, Greenpeace in Alaska said, no, they disavowed from that. And they said, wait, I had nothing to do with it. That's those Germans and Austrians over there stirring stuff up. So now they decided they're going to test everything from the Pacific Ocean for radiation.
They are.
And that's fine. Please share with us your results.
Greenpeace will be over there. Other groups doing that as well.
No, they're forcing the European Union.
Okay.
Folks are testing all seafood from the Pacific Ocean, which is okay. They aren't going to find any from Alaska.
Okay, we'll quote you on that. Great. This is Tyson Fick, Communications Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and we are on Focus on Community. This is Adrian Lopez. We're going to take a quick break for some music, and we'll be back for the last segment of our show here. Thanks for tuning in.
This is a story called Fishing Blues. When I was a little boy, I used to like to go fishing all the time. I used to write notes to my mother and take my dog and my bicycle and my fishing rod and my night crawlers and pack a lunch and go off down to Lake Massasoit that we called Watershops Pond and or down to Forest Park down to the lakes down there and fish for all kinds of different kinds of fish. And I know that young people like to fish a lot, too. They always want somebody to take them fishing. Anyway, if they won't take you fishing, maybe you'll get them to sing this song to you, and this might make them want to take you fishing. Bet you gone fishing all the time, Beaver gone fishing, too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Little fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my line. I'm gone fishing, yes, I'm gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Went on down my favorite fishing hole, now I got myself a pole and line. 49-pound cabbage shoulder bottle. Clean, I got him now. I took him home to mama about supper time. Sing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on, honey, am I? I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. And the beaver going fishing too. Beaver brother just about to run me out of my mind. Said, man, can I go fishing with you? Come on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught a sunbound bird to the bottom. Glimmy got him now. Took him home to mama. Say he is real gone. Come on. Honey and his. He is going fishing. Yes, he going fishing. And the baby going fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby. Put him in the pan. Mama cook him till he nice and brown. Get yourself a batch of buttermilk, okay, babe. Put the sucker on the table, mommy. You scarf him on down. Singing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my old baby and my. I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. And the baby going fishing too. Bitch gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes you do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my old baby and my. I'm gone fishing, yes I'm gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my old baby in my line. I'm a gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm going fishing, mama going fishing, and the beaver going fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the beaver's going fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama going fishing, and the beaver going fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the beaver going fishing too.
We are back. This is Adrian Lopez here on Focus on Community in Juneau, Alaska. On KTOO News 104.3, I'm speaking tonight with Tyson Fick. He's Communications Director at Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, as me. And while we were on the break, we actually had one of our listeners out there write in with the answer to our question, right? Michael Garvin wrote in that the answer is catadromous. So,
what was the question again?
The opposite of anadromous is catadromous.
So
we start in.
Okay, I hope it's true.
We're quoting
he's
you.
He's a scientist, so
Sam and geneticist, so hopefully he's right. So we've had a great discussion, Tyson. There's a lot of information you've been throwing out there, and I like to kind of wind down the last part, talking about fun stuff. But I know we haven't hit on the international piece, but I want to tie this into just how much fun you do have with your job and the great places you get to travel to, and where ASME actually has contacts and offices around the world. And that international impact and what you've seen kind of since you've been in the job.
Yeah, certainly. Aside from our domestic programs, which work with, you know, all the biggest retailers and the smallest retailers, as well as restaurants and chains from all over the country, we have programs in Japan, China, UK, Northern EU, Western, Spain, Portugal. So you're talking France, wow. Germany. We work in Russia and Ukraine. We are doing some research on the market right now in Brazil. We sent a guy to Dubai just a few months ago, to go to Gulf Food.
And Gulf Food.
It was a big food show in Dubai.
All right.
And certainly developed some great trade leads there.
Okay.
I just got back from Austin, Texas, where I officiated a wedding, but that was a different trip. I went to Monterey recently. That was a very, very educational trip at the Sustainable Food Institute,
nice.
Which kind of talked about the whole spectrum of the food business.
Okay.
And introducing the concept of sustainability, which is something that we certainly, you know, we would all agree with.
Yeah.
I want to be able to keep doing what I'm doing, or, you know, I want to be able to do the same thing with my grandkids that I used to do with my grandpa. And then where seafood fits in with that.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I had a big consumer type show where we got to talk about how Alaska seafood fits into that whole message.
Okay, I was going to ask if you sometimes you get opportunities to present at these, or are you just going and listening?
Yes. And then we were in Soldotna at the Global Food Conference and spoke on a panel. Sometimes it's presenting, sometimes it's just taking notes, sometimes it's door to door.
Okay.
You can see us at shows. We were at the Anchorage Sportsman Show, the Juneau Maritime Festival.
Yes,
we'll pick some things here and there where we just try to make ourselves available with our materials.
Mm-hmm.
Folks
mm-hmm.
are real interested in our recipes. But then also, you know, it's a great opportunity to meet with fishermen or with, you know, retailers or restaurant owners within the state that could benefit from our programs just as well as someone in Dubai, for instance.
Yeah. So you've got all these international sites. I know that you actually have official people that represent those areas, right? Like the European contact or
right.
There's might be a Latin America one.
Overseas marketing representatives.
Okay.
Contractors.
Contractors.
But it's very important to have somebody in the country who understands the food business and also understands Alaska and Alaskan seafood, who's a native speaker.
Of both languages,
you can find yourself with real challenges there if you're not immersed,
uh-huh.
I guess. But they all get together pretty regular.
We
just had an international marketing committee meeting, and they took the group out to Dutch Harbor. And this is how we get input from the industry, aside from our board, are through species committees and operations committees. Retail, food service, international, technical, as well as by species. If you have salmon, shellfish, halibut and black cod and whitefish, ground fish.
Okay.
And then that's where we get. Then that's where we get to hear from people who are on the ground, actually selling the product and working with customers, how we can help and what things we need to focus on. Maybe what areas, maybe what information they need that would benefit the whole industry.
Better marketing, uh-huh. Now, are there certain regions of the world that prefer different things? Are there some unique requests sometimes that come in from Spain or Russia?
Well, absolutely. Spain, Portugal. A lot of our Pacific cod goes there.
Okay.
And then it gets salted in the traditional way that Atlantic cod was salted. And then it gets desalted.
Really?
And then sold in portions. Or it gets salted and sent to South America. That would be one thing. And then we met with our customer advisory panel in Cordova about a month ago at the opening of the Copper River fishery there. And this is a group of some of the largest seafood buyers of Alaska product from around the world. Bird's Eye Igloo was the biggest frozen food maker in Europe. Darden's, which is Red Lobster and Olive Garden.
Oh, really?
Safeway, Harris Teeter, Waitrose from the UK. They all came, and we were asking them about what kind of things we can do to improve our relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing is very important for us to be able to get all steps in the supply chain together, because in that same room at the same table, you had everybody from fishermen to the final seller having a good, open, candid conversation about what kind of things we can do to help each other out.
Wow. And were anything that, this was a month ago, anything that came up in that meeting that kind of surprised you or that's on the radar now as the organization grows?
It was very good to get confirmation from those folks that we're on the right track with our certification program.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing. That's something that, you know, because it is a market-driven the whole reason why we're doing it is because the market's asking for it.
Yeah.
So it's very good to get confirmation from that.
Good. That's important. Now, you also have other international programs related to food aid, right?
Right.
If you look at the website,
and we have a global food aid program,
which is fascinating. I think it's kind of like this corporate social responsibility of ASME.
In a way. But it's also helpful to the industry as well because fish has this tremendous nutritional value.
Yeah.
So it is very sought after in global food aid programs in protein poor nations. Especially, you know, in women and child programs, omega-3 has huge benefits. So the United States government, among others, will send things like one of the most sought after is canned pink salmon.
Canned pink salmon. Huh.
So it's affordable, and it travels well.
Yeah.
And it has tremendous nutritional value. So we're out there working with them when it comes to what kind of things you're going to put in a can and ship overseas to stop starvation. Well, one of those things is pink salmon, and we're even looking into a herring market.
Herring.
There's parts around the world that are that have a palate for canned herring.
Yeah.
And that's another one that
special
would be
case. That's favor.
That's very affordable and also very nutritious, and it helps with the economics of the rest of the fishery.
Yeah.
When it helps move a certain portion of the can pack, especially on a big year, because if we have to deal with natural fluctuations. Sometimes we have more fish for sale than our customary market would want to take.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So it's kind of the overflow of that. So you're going to Africa, maybe someplace in Latin America. Asia, I saw a Guatemala pilot project on there.
Right.
Okay. Is there somebody in charge of that, or do you guys kind of externalize that?
We have a guy in-house who's actually is based in Kodiak who runs that, as well as he works with a contractor who is in D.C. the full time.
Okay.
Who's so there with the USDA and the folks that are making those kinds of decisions all the time.
Okay, nice. Great, Tyson. Now, at the Maritime Festival, you gave out a bunch of recipe books. You had all these trivia questions. It was great fun. Everybody loved your little presentation. What are some of your favorite recipes? And what is this app you guys are talking about that everybody should download if they have an iPhone or an Android phone?
Well, there's a couple places that I would go for some of the favorite recipes. I hate to pick one because I'll get in trouble with all the other guys that wrote all the other ones. But two very good spots for recipes when you're thinking, what should I do with the fish that I have in the freezer?
Yeah.
First off is cookitfrozen.com.
Cookitfrozen.com.
And, or you can go to if you have an iPhone, you can get the Cook It Frozen iPhone app.
Wow.
And these are all recipes that were developed to go straight from frozen in the freezer.
Okay.
So there's, follow the technique. It's as so simple. The guy who developed the whole idea works for us, our retail director. He was up here. We went fishing, and he met my kids and said, well, you know, we need to film them to show folks just how easy it is. And if my three-year-old twins could do a cooking show with the Cook It Frozen, I assure you everybody can. They're all less than 20 minutes, and you can search by, you know, I have halibut in the freezer, I have salmon in the freezer, I have crab in the freezer, whatever it is. There's recipes to go straight from frozen. Another one is Wild Alaska Flavor.
Wild Alaska Flavor. It's an app?
That is a website, wildalaskaflavor.com. And we have some nice information about Alaska, information about the fishermen and where people's fish comes from, as well as a real nice recipe database and some pictures and videos of how it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
Just a couple months ago, we finished up an Alaska Fish Taco Recipe Contest.
Yum. Where was that?
So you can still go on the AlaskaFishTaco.com website and see dozens of fish taco recipes.
You just buy up all these domain names?
That's right.
Alaska Fish Taco. Great. Have you done some of these demonstrations at the shows?
Yes.
Fish tacos?
Oh, it's great fun. Great fun getting to work with. And then some of the great chefs around the state, even within the state. We're always working on cookbooks and developing new recipes, and that's part of working with this Gen Y crowd demands it. Don't want to have the fish the same way every time.
No, you don't.
And it keeps it interesting and exciting. And
yeah, definitely. Now, you also work with cooks. Like, there's cooks around the country that you have targeted to cook Alaska seafood, or do they come to you and ask for help?
Well, a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. We work with some chefs like John Ash and John Besh and Jamie Oliver and Rick Moonen and, some of the best chefs in the world who recognize how great our seafood is.
Yeah.
And then, they do it without pay. We're not paying them to say anything great about us. We may ask them once in a while to come to an event and teach a little class or speak with some folks or, contribute a recipe to a cookbook.
Okay.
And they're all very happy to do it.
I'm sure they are. Now, you consider ASME successful, just kind of finishing up here. We got a couple minutes left. When you think about the organization, do you guys have any measurement for how you improve the sales of Alaska seafood and numbers that show your success?
Value.
Yeah.
I laugh because that has many factors that we absolutely have no control over.
Mm-hmm.
The commodity price, how many fish there are out there.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of these things that, things are pretty good right now, all in all, if you look around. Big salmon forecast, it looks like it's pretty well shaping up in most places. The prices are really strong, some of the best prices and highest economic value of fisheries we've seen in 20 years. And so we might as well take credit for it, I guess, because we'll get blamed for it when it goes the other way.
That's true.
Really what it is the processors did an amazing job, and the legislature did an amazing job of recognizing the need to improve quality and diversify the product form over the last 10 years or so, and that is now beginning to really pay dividends. We've seen things like the pink salmon is just a great example. In 2002, it was worth about a dime a pound, and it was about 80% of it went into cans. And now, because of all these new products out there, about 50% goes in cans. Meanwhile, the price has gone up to 35, 40 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of story we like to tell.
And actually, my dad ran in with the story because my uncle and all my cousins put themselves through college every summer in Valdez fishing and been a part of the industry for a long time. So we appreciate ASME's work and your work as well, Tyson. And we're kind of at the end of the show here, right? Studio people, John. Thank you again for coming on. Thanks to all the listeners out there who have listened in tonight. I know that this will be available tomorrow, I believe, on the site here on KTOO in the audio files, so we can use it to help continue promoting Alaska seafood. And I'll be on again on Focus on Community on July 25th.
AlaskaSeafood.org.
Yes.
Like us on Facebook.
Facebook.
YouTube channel.
YouTube.
Cook It Frozen iPhone app.
Cook It Frozen. WildAlaskaFlavor.com.
WildAlaskaFlavor.com.
And Alaska Fish Taco.
And Alaska Fish Taco. 465-5560.
That's
311 North Franklin.
Go protest. Good thing.
Go celebrate.
Celebrate. Thanks, Tyson. Thank you, everyone out there. This is Adrian Lopez signing off on KTOO. Focus on Community. Have a great evening.